Welcome back to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden, on KALW 91.7 FM. When We Exhale, an anthology of Black women rooted in ancestral medicine, is filled with works by Black female writers about their experiences with rest, grief, and intimacy. Some of the writers include familiar names like Maya Angelou. Others may be new to you. Black Freighter Press, which is based in the Bay Area, published this powerful book. I wrote the foreword for the anthology, and when I looked at the poetry, essays, and recipes in the book for inspiration for my foreword, I knew I had to host an event for When We Exhale. And our live audience was so moved, a number of people came to the readers in tears after the show. Our lineup included the book's lead editor and Black Freighter Press co-founder, Allie Jones, Oakland's first poet laureate, Ayodele Nzinga, writers Nia Pearl, Adrian Danielle Oliver, Lynn Patterson, Kelechi Uboza, and I read a little something too. We recorded this event at KLW's downtown San Francisco venue in May of 2026. Enjoy. Welcome, everybody, to the celebration of this beautiful book, When We Exhale. I'm so honored that I was asked to write the foreword of this book. It's such a beautiful book, such a healing text. All the poems in there are just beautiful and magical and powerful and just lovely. You know, just lovely. And I'm not saying that because I wrote the foreword, because when Allie, when Allie Jones, who's the editor, asked me to write the foreword and I looked at all the pieces that were submitted, I was like, oh my goodness. So the first thing I was like, we got to do something when this comes out. So let me actually bring up Allie Jones. What inspired you to curate this beautiful book?
Really, in terms of inspiration, it's something that I hate that it's evergreen, but I was looking and I was like, you know, we have anthologies of Black folks, we have anthologies of women, but I hadn't seen anthologies of Black women in this healing realm. I saw a lot around women writers and just Black folks in general, like I mentioned. And so again, just kind of looking at the intersection of grief, intimacy, and rest was really important because these are things that we don't talk about enough. And what does it look like to hold all of these things concurrently and to feel like we're holding them alone when often we hold them collectively?
Yeah, yeah. What do you love most about this book?
That it's out.
That it's done.
That it's out. I told Janae I was wearing too many hats in this, and I realized that afterwards. I was like getting permissions, getting blurbs, getting all of our different pieces together. It was poetry, essays. We have prayers. We have all sorts of things.
Spiritual recipes.
You know, recipes, rituals. There are so many things. And so the curation of that and the back end of all of our lives, everyone putting it together, we had family tragedies. We had health things going on. We had so much happening in the midst of this. We had a paper shortage where, like, there wasn't paper to publish the books. So it was a moment, yeah. And you didn't even think those things happen.
Right.
And I thought someone was lying to me. I was like, y'all just making stuff up. But just the fact that it exists, that it's real, that it's tangible, that it's not just this idea in the world as long as it took us, that it's actually somewhere we can see and touch and be with.
Yeah. Well, I thank you because I know you worked very hard on this. And so I appreciate that you put in that energy and that effort, because I know as Black women, we already dealing with a lot. And so the fact that you love Black women and girls so much. So I know this was a labor of love. So we appreciate you. Yeah, I appreciate you. And so
Thank you, tonight,
we're going to celebrate Black women. We're going to discuss through poetry, through literature, Black women and intimacy and grief and rest. So those are the themes that we'll be discussing, addressing tonight through art, through poetry, through literature. Allie is going to kick us off with a few pieces.
Okay, so this first piece I want to just talk about a little bit because this fell into the grief column, and a lot of folks might look at it and think, oh, joy, and I'm like, actually, it's not. And so it was inspired really thinking about the level of human sex trafficking happening in Oakland, specifically around Black teenage girls. Initially, it started out as a call to action, to awareness, to just do something, to be something, to not just watch and say you saw something. And then it just became a call to action around ending violence against women. and girls, right? Because at this point, we all know too many people who have lost their lives when they should still be here. This piece is called I Dare You. Black women make up 40% of human beings trafficked in the United States. I dare you to see black girls, to witness the almond-colored triumph in our eyes, to recognize black girls beyond the colonizer lies. I dare you to release instant gratification and exploitation. Our pain cannot be fixed with a Band-Aid. Black girls are not a gas station or a shopping mall, not here for your entertainment. We are short and fat and thin and tall, wilting and blooming, so much more than the eye can see. We wear crowns that can get heavy. I dare you to hold space for black girls who bloom in a drought, black girls who ask too many questions and don't learn from our mistakes, from the sweetest sunflower to the thorniest rose. I dare you to embrace black girls falling apart in front of you, who are too loud, too fast, and have an attitude. Black girls with beads and barrettes and scars we can't forget. I dare you to be courageous, to stand up and love black girls who could use a hug or two, deserving of care and adoration. Mama, mentor, auntie, nurture the mending. You are a mirror of joy and affection. Granny, teacher, sister, I dare you to stop saying this ain't your problem, to stand up and fight. Be the glimmer of light. I dare you to protect black girls, to shine brighter than the storms you face, to be a lighthouse when fog rolls your way, to move with deliberation and grace. I don't want to remember my life before mermaids. I was raised by saltwater queens, blessed by magical beings of mythic proportions, daughters of Yemaya and Gumbo. Those who remind me of the beautiful resilience that lives within us. Coiled crowns adorned with cowrie, goddesses who maintain the grace of a gazelle with the ever-changing tide, mes sirènes, my mermaid queens. Flowing, crashing, rising. My grandma Genevieve, cayenne pepper royalty, celestial matriarch, soft yet steady as a metronome in the kitchen with a laugh that could brighten any dim room. Unafraid of what is to come because her certainty is founded in love. Her setbacks created the beginnings of her greatest comebacks, flowing through the roughest currents and remaining strong. Flowing, crashing, rising. My mother Teresa, calming like gardenia, gentle earth warrior who taught me to respect and protect the earth, to value all forms of life, holding space for her softness and her offspring, unconditionally magical, transforming the flu with a slight potion, or inventing the perfect bedtime story. She grew in the midst of adversity, never allowing fear to stop her pursuit, crashing with determination against any expectation, flowing, crashing, rising. Mes sirènes, my mermaid queens. Cousins who remind me that I could do anything. Sisters, sisters who challenge me to seek softness in times of pain and trauma. To look at myself in a mirror, untarnished by self-loathing. My aquatic angels, who kept me sane when all I thought I could ever be was crazy. Loving with our hearts wide open, guided by our gut feelings and our star signs, rêveurs, croyants, amants, et guerriers, dreamers, believers, lovers, and warriors, rising above black holes of doubt, insecurity, and fear, flowing, crashing, rising.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, give it up again for Allie Jones. Thank you. So that's the tone for tonight. That's the tone for tonight. All right. Our next reader is someone whose work I really admire. I remember the first time I heard Nia Pearl was at an event at MOAD, and like I just was so struck by her work. And anytime I see her on a lineup, I'm like, I gotta be there in the audience. Her work is just so, it's just so touching. So I'm so happy you're here, Nia. Come on up.
It's truly an honor to be here in such wonderful company. And I've been thinking so much about this book ever since I got my hands on the physical copy. And it truly feels like such a blessing and such a sacred space to hold the book in my hands and to see the beautiful company that my poem shares with all these wonderful other writers. So I'm really honored to be here and to share some poems tonight. So I'm going to start with the piece that's in this book, which is entitled In the Day Diamonds Are in the Water, and this is after Toni Morrison. The only time the ocean cut me, I bled stories. They said, what a beautiful, yet terrifying thing it is to be free. They said, we have traveled years to bring you our names. We knew you'd forget them, or worse, never recognize them in the first place. They said, remember me. Unfold your tongue. Gather in your hand all the cities your foremothers birthed freedom in. Scatter milkweed seeds in the wind and call us home. Waterlogged and weary, I bandage my wounds with diamonds and rise from seafoam memory, homebound. I've never been far from the page. How else to learn what moonlight looks like through blue-eyed promises? Oh, but to be Sonia, to be Toni, to be wind in a cotton field scattering marigolds. I wish I knew Arkansas clouds like I do the lines on a palm, like I do the recipe for forgiveness. Joy is memory in the refrain, magic too hopeful to stay hidden. See, the trick to befriending stories is listening, after all. Yet sometimes belonging cannot be traced by tide lines or railroads carved out of the night sky, but rather dog-eared pages and overdue book finds. Having a library to owe things to makes one at home, right? So we write, we sing, we rename our story legacy before they claim we were never here in the first place. Find us on the page, as she said, this is the first battlefield we play on. Here our words dance, and so we too leap into blissful surrender. And one day we will fly, and one day we will fly. So in thinking about, you know, navigating grief, and I find that I turn a lot to both my ancestors and archives and thinking about kind of retracing the footsteps of those who've come before me. And so that's a little bit of what this next piece is speaking to, and it's entitled Trouble the Memory. I go back to the land and the land before my land, and there are rumors everywhere. Ear to the ground, I listen to the earth whisper in warning. The librarian of memory waits under cover of night. Light plays seeker among the forest of thickets. A white house watches as ivy tangles in the curtains of trees. Who goes there? Who goes there? Can you hear the rumors now? Of a darkness that escaped on foot, that conversed with the stars until they ran underground, that fled just shy of freedom and returned back, back to the uneasy terrain where time eludes the eye. Have we been here before? I go back to the land and the land before my land, and the horizon has shifted. Gravity suspended in time, I survey a tilted hillside from a new angle. A landscape changing so fast, it appears still. Rivers reverse carve themselves out of rock and recede. The illusion of a land unknown even to itself. I tuck my coordinates away for another 400 years. Do you know where we're going? I go back to the land and the land before my land, and there are seeds everywhere. I collect them in the pockets of my nail beds, decorate the soles of my shoes, and retrace my footsteps. At dawn, the creek sighs in toxic serenity. Oil slick and subdued, its waters gossip downstream. Stillness troubles the mind. Where do we go from here? I go back to the land and the land before my land, and there are pieces of me everywhere. This time, I know where we're going.
Give it up again for Nia Pearl. Our next reader is Lynn Patterson. And so Lynn Patterson, I'm new to her work, and it's always nice when you discover someone that whose work you're not familiar with, and you're like, oh, they're so awesome. Give it up now for Lynn Patterson.
Hi, everyone. I have been thinking about this anthology and what it means to be a part of an anthology of Black women. I'm also going to share a ritual poem with you that is meant to be read out loud. And it's called The Purge. Shells for ancestors, because my grandmother always taught me how profound it is to put your ear to the ocean, how to find joy in realizing how small we truly are. Stones for presence, because becoming unburdened is heavy and it requires the weight of our stillness. Thank you. Glass for breaking, because once something is broken, it can never be put back together. But the mourning of what was lost will remain rage, ready to gut you from the inside out if you don't release it. Friends, to scream at the ocean alongside you, because even though you are a fortress built from glass and stones, you can still be knocked down by the crashing wave of darkness if you try to suffer through this alone. Blessings and offerings for the season. May this fresh start be the brightest of summer mornings. It can be so hard to see the beauty when things are broken, but without destruction, there is no room for rebuilding. Thank you. That poem was about grief and surrendering to it. A lot of the work that I do is about love and intimacy. And interestingly enough, I had the opportunity to curate an anthology about love. I was part of like a reading committee, and it was an anthology that was meant to capture women's voices on the topic of intimacy. And one thing that made me really sad reading the submissions is that all of the poems were heartbreak poems about love. And I write a lot of heartbreak poems. I'm really good at it. I have a lot of rage about it. But it kind of showed me that, one, I think our words are really powerful and they can be used for conjuring. And so after being involved with this anthology, I started to write love poems that were meant to be conjuring poems for the type of intimacy that I want to manifest for myself and others. And so this is an erotic poem. All right, this poem is called Love Me Till I Cry. Meet me where desire isn't polite. Pull me closer like I am not fragile, and hold me like you will not let me fall apart. Love me like you know the difference between overwhelm and opening, until something in me softens, not into submission, but into release. stay. When the ache opens and grief becomes pleasure. Undo me slowly, not to break me, but to uncover me. Because you know my body has been asked to hold so much. Touch my body like it is a language that should not be rushed. Let your hands learn me first, because your touch lets me exist without tugging or tightening. Until my body speaks in words I cannot translate fast enough. Until the armored parts of me soften in your palms. Love me so good, my body must stop performing. That my mouth forgets to hold it together. That my hips remember they were built for more than labor and containment. Witness the way that my pleasure makes me tell the truth. Till I beg, till I shake, till I beg you to stop, but don't stop. And when I try to return to control, do not let me. I want you to feel the exact moment my body stops bracing. Feel it in my chest, in my throat, and in my eyes, which cannot hold back, and let me weep, not because it hurts, but because it does not. Thank you.
Keep it going for Lynn Patterson. All right, next up is, okay, when I think of Adele and Zynga, Oakland's first poet laureate, yes. What comes to mind is fire. I was like, her pen must be made of fire and heart. And I always think when she's on a stage, I just imagine ashes and smoke when she walks off. Because, and I always say, I was like, she go burn it down. Give it up for the one, the only, Adele Nzinga.
So, this first piece is called On the Topic of. Strong, resilient black women on the topic of. When you tell a black woman she is resilient, you mean she endured some horrific occurrence and survived. You ain't said nothing about the cost of survival. Or estimated how many demons are hiding in how many sets of Russian nesting dolls. When you say to her she's strong, what you mean is, your ain't gone crazy yet. What you miss is the way the head still tilt towards sun, even with a face full of tears. How she go forward when her feet can't touch the ground no more. Now she could tell you, but it can cut you bad, this going on. But tomorrow is a place that might hold her song, so she go on. It's whole damn oceanness. But you got to have the word for that. But for God in skyness. She keeps unfolding, and you wonder how she hold all she holding. Bottomless, infinite. You can go and just call it what it is. The nature of the goddess. Or you can stand blindly in the warmth and flow of it until it explodes. Now, this next piece is called Breath in Three Movements. The final movement is the piece that is in this book, When We Exhale, all right? Breath in Three Movements. I always needed rituals and dreams about resurrection. Hashtag born in a dying room. I was one of them not supposed to make it out alive. Ghost always been real comfortable around me. See, I could have lived or died since I was little. This has been a heavy place for me to smile in. I came with a tale. Dark wrapped over me won't hurt long, not meant to last long, but some children remember being stardust and know how to be in the nowhere, waiting until it's safe, learning soon and sadly it's rarely safe. They grow anyway. The uncanny lucky learn to dance. Now, dancing lives in a room where you can slide out of yourself, free for a while. And if you manage to dance over a border, freedom may last longer. Two, when we exhale, my ghost will reset the doomsday clock and finally rest. They've been hustling a while. There will be an audible click signaling creation. Hope here again. The pendulum between right and wrong will hover over right till wrong forgets to be a thing that we understand or accept. We will forget scarcity, fear, and how to suffer endlessly. Fire and magnolias will fill the space those things used to take. We warm and smell like the waiting room in Olakun's garden. We fat, peaceful, wisdom radiantly at rest, just being. When we exhale, the moral arc will decide that nature is the law and reciprocity is justice. Jambalaya will be served and drumming will be allowed. And we're gonna dance late into the night. And we will dance late into some night when our souls are full to full, and the vibrations of Juba decompose all that ever came to eat the joy of another, outright or in quiet violence with minor movements or in serial major aggressions. When we exhale. Three. When we exhale, we will become proficient in open-ended, lucid dreams that finally leave the middle passage. We will weave tomorrow with ancestral authority when we exhale. Fruit will grow fruit again. New language will be born to explain rain finding her season again. Honeybees will return. The rhythm of our days will remember us softly like mama's arms. We rise, mist over water, stars freckled across ebony skies. We are creation's daughters, remembering the dream before the need to overcome became. She is. We are. The homies' rose petal garden, the return of Eden. Liberty unchained, alive on arrival. No weapon formed, hashtag manifesting here. When we exhale, the band will play above the noise of a million or more smooth black grannies shouting on the head of a pin, cause they prayers finally came true.
Yeah. Thank you. Tell you. Let me blow the smoke away, cause she burned out us. Did I tell y'all? I told y'all. Give it up, Aya Dele and Zinga. Next up is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful writer as well. Literature professor, Dr. Adrienne Danielle Oliver, loves, loves, loves literature. She gives us homework too. Adrienne, come on up.
Thank you, Janae, and good evening, everyone. I'm gonna read two pieces I have in here. So I'm gonna start with a piece called Your Queendom Calls. Yes. Hey sis, this is just a line to let you know that God see ya. The tears and the pain are the rain he sent to free ya. The world see your strength and they always wanna be ya. Diva, you the meaning of the universe. Being so divine been a blessing and a curse. Always trying to steal your light because you got the most shine. Always trying to make you late when you on divine time. This is just a line to let you know to keep going. Never play it small because you got a big showing. Flowing, your rhythm is the beat of a nation. Without your womb, there be absolutely no creation. Haitian, like a revolution, let your spirit rise. Commanding all shadows to bow to the light. The queen has arrived, and she's the coldest winter ever. The mind of her spirit turn a brick into a feather. Cold becomes gold in the presence of her light. Surrender to her alchemy and get your mind right. This, I love this audience. These aren't Janae's best friends. You got girl. This is just a line, sis, to remind you of your purpose. The pain, the tears, just part of dress rehearsal. It's showtime now. Apollo, you got your wings. Time to take flight and handle queen things. Love always your inner queen. And this is a recipe for exhale cake. Conscious, all-knowing essence. One, ingredients. One part acceptance that you are like mama, wrapped up in deathless regenerative flesh. One teaspoon becoming balm to the through line of mamas from whence you came. Two parts letting go of the through line of mamas from whence you came. Three parts stepping into your own power. Two dashes of as it was and so it shall be. One cup of prayer, three scoops of ashe, a pinch of namaste, one dollop of amen, and salah to taste. Two instructions. Gather three beautiful mixing bowls made of heart whole. Preheat belly to forgiveness degrees over soul. In first bowl, mix one part acceptance plus becoming balm. Let stand until the mixed upness gels into calm. In a second bowl, mix letting go plus ashe, namaste plus ashe, and knowing it will be okay. And seeing into the future again, let the okayness soak all the way in. In a third bowl, combine all ingredients into the as it was and so it shall be. Blend until the mix is a smooth consistency. Stir, pour, bake. Set the alarm for cosmic hours. This will help those through lines rise to full ancestral power. Bake until you see the batter rise. Like oil wells pumping in hips and diamonds at meeting of thighs. Once prayer, ashe, and namaste has in today risen, cool with the sprinkling of that amen and let acceptance into the kitchen. Instead of the counter for cooling, put this on the highest rack. Countering ain't worth the stepping time in the beat you've risen at. Garnish with baby's breath to add wonder and awe to taste. Step into your power and enjoy your exhale cake. Thank you.
Give it up for Adrian, Danielle, Oliver. Someone who has been part of my community for a while is Kelechi Ubozo. She and I go way back, way back. Somebody in the back seat. Okay, call and response. we go back to when I worked in mental health awareness. In her writing, Kelechi makes space for her strength. Kelechi's from New York, very much from New York. And so she makes space for her strength, but also her vulnerability too. Come on up, y'all. Give it up for Kelechi Ubozo.
I will be reading two pieces from here and then a few other poems. And before I get into the grief piece, I wanted to just ground in something very short, but what I think of Black women. When you see a Black woman pass you on the street, the sun and I make direct eye contact. Her brilliance doesn't scorch me. We will warm each other. All right. Super short. So this piece is interesting. I wrote it for a friend who was grieving, who had lost a lot. And turns out it's the poem I needed. So if you're going through things, if you're grieving, this piece is for you as well. It's called Unbreakable. I once heard, grief is love with no place to go. Sis, what are we gonna do with this longing? Call in your ancestors with your highest intent, because not all ancestors are good ancestors. Ask for guidance, ask for ease, ask for spaciousness. Request a lullaby, a fable, and a sweet memory. Time travel through portals, a dusty boombox will do. Harness the power of melody. Try the medicine of tears. Rest. With eyes of love, look in the mirror. Be seen by you. Speak an affirmation. Fall in love with the miracle that is you. Gather sadness, depression, and anger into a room with no walls and ask them, if you could release this pain, what would they dream for you? Write down their responses, understand their needs, start working on releasing. Call a friend, a coach, a therapist, a healer, whoever brings you energy, sees you as whole, and knows you already have the answers can stay. Manifest guides, not saviors. You may feel like breaking, but you are not broken. You are not broken, you break open. This feeling won't last forever, but while it's here, move through it, not around. Ask for help, and then let them help you. I'm gonna say it again. Black women, ask for help, and then let them help you. Tell them no, you know who they are. And your Black labor is not for sale. You are a precious being with finite time. Rest, create space to fall apart and let yourself fall apart. Let yourself be held without holding. Let yourself be perfectly imperfect. Like a bird trapped in a building will find its way to sky, you will find your way to sky. There is a universe inside of your tears. Rest, rest. Rest. You are breaking, not broken. You are breaking, not broken. You are not broken. You are unbreakable. Okay. All right. Thank you. I have two more pieces for you. And we've been calling in some of our Black author ancestors, so I'm bringing in Octavia Butler into the room with us today. And she's always thinking about the future, and her futures can be pretty tough. But so or accurate, you know. I did, you know, maybe put a spin on a version of her future. But I wrote this, and I dedicated this to my friend Brandi Collins Dexter, who passed last year. She was a writer, researcher, civil rights activist, and even when she was dying, and we were sitting on her stoop in Baltimore, she had weeks left to live. She said, what can I do more? And I just said, okay, I'm gonna read you this poem. And this was my response to what more can she do. And so this is called Octavia Told Me. In the future, there is a wild garden of blooming orchids, lilies and marigolds, plush soft green grass and weeping willows bent from the past, unforbidden apples with flowing knowledge. The land has healed itself, and Black women are resting. In the future, we are in right relationship with the land and all her stewards. We dig, unearth, root, get grounded, plant, eat, and repeat. Food is abundant, seasoned, buttery, and warm. More than enough, all the bellies are fed, and Black women are resting. In the future, there are homes, not just houses, but places that are sacred beyond four walls, created with divine designers, accommodating all bodies, all disabilities, carefully crafted with love. You can pick whatever you want. Victorian, Art Deco, Redwood Treehouse, cottage, spaceship, whatever you dream can be realized. Everyone is housed to fit their needs. There is always enough, and Black women are resting. In the future, a cure for hatred was discovered by children through their sweet, wise counsel. Everyone is allowed a range of feelings and emotions. Accountability is no longer designated to the ones who are overly responsible. With hatred removed, conflict is solved through communication and community, and Black women are resting. Think y'all picked up on that. Past, present, and future collide. Old timelines crash. Prophecies are unmasked. As this world crumbles, the new world emerges. All the while, Black women are resting. And in the future, Black women are resting. Black women are playing. Black women are seen. Black women are celebrated. Black women are loved. Black women are receiving. Black women are dancing. Black women are blooming. You are very welcome. So, moving us away from dystopia land and into other spaces, I wanted to close with Dreams for the Collective. I try to read this in any space because these dreams are for you, and it has been a hard, hard time, and you deserve some good things to hear. So, this is for you. We know the nightmare, so what is the dream? Kwesi Chapin. You are a dream realized. I meet you with splendor and joy, knowing that joy and grief are cousins. I hold both truths and gently rock you to a lullaby, a dream, a portal to co-create a dreamscape. In this place we create, let us remember the wisdom of our ancestors who did more than survive, whose DNA passes on ancestral gifts, knowledge, and care for one another. Our plant ancestors who energetically shelter us from the constant storm that is an ableist white supremacist lie. May we remember the truth, and may these words give you nourishment in times of despair. Take this dreamscape as seeds to plant in your communities across the world and light up the universe. May you be nourished. May you be hydrated. May you be held in a way that feels just right to you and your body. May you reclaim your ancestral teachings, traditions, and knowledge. May you remember your people, and may they remember you. May you be a good neighbor, and may your neighbors be good to you. May you experience responsiveness in place of reactiveness. May the solutions to be harm be of your creation, but held by many. May you rest. May you know love and give love. May your decisions be honored. May your autonomy be respected. May your belly be full of food and laughter. May your heart expand. May your human rights be restored. May you be the solve. May you liberate yourself from generational wounds. May you allow yourself to feel your emotions, and may your emotions move through. May you let yourself receive. May you know a deep pleasure. May you live in dignity. May you be safe. May your physical container experience release and magic. And may you remember that your story is part of a universal fabric, and the thread that belongs to you belongs to this collective. May you release whatever in the past is no longer serving you. And in the moments when this is not possible, may you be kind to the parts of yourself that do not yet know the way. May you get lost as much as you need. May you return to your path. May you continue to light the world. And even through inner and external darkness, may you remember that, yes, you are whole. May whatever resonates from these dreams etch into your mortal fabric, and may you release anything that's not aligned. May the dream we build become the groundwork that includes all of us. So much love to this collective. Thank you.
For Collective Bozo. Yeah, thank you so much for that. Just a reminder just to take care of ourselves. So I'm gonna read one more piece. So I had something interesting happen to me a few years ago. I was really in a very bad place. It was just like everything that could go wrong was going wrong. And one day I walked outside. I was walking in the parking lot in my apartment, and I looked on the ground, and I saw something moving, but it kind of blended in with the gravel in the ground, and it was a dying monarch butterfly. Yeah, and so I was like, that's a butterfly. So I went into my apartment and got my dustpan and scooped it up and put it somewhere safe, because I didn't want a bird to come and eat it so it could die peacefully. But it inspired this this piece. And I looked up stuff about symbolism of monarchs and when they're dying, what that means. So, and a lot of what it meant related to what I was going through at the time. So this is called Resurrecting the Dying Butterfly. One, I'm over it. No more, not again. I fold my wings, stuff a rag down my throat right where it burns from vomiting the poison. The crack goes deeper down the middle of my heart. I lost loved ones to graveyards. I lost myself to broken dreams. I am lost in an ocean of tears. No arms wrapped around me to hug me through this. My body thirsts for a touch to give me some hope that things will be okay. Grief blankets me. It is in my pores and my hair. Grief dries my scalp and grinds my teeth. Gives me chest pains, costs me hundreds for MRI scans. Grief is the blanket that smothers out my light. I was quarantining before 2020, sheltering in place behind my apartment door, avoiding the disease of a cruel world that wouldn't let me be all that I am in peace. Two, maybe I'm just too much for them. I'm too black, I'm too feminine, I'm too creative, I'm too smart, outspoken, too much presence. Is my light too bright? Or do they attack me because I'm a reminder of what they don't have? When really they chose not to celebrate their own light. Honey, I shrunk myself so they'd feel bigger and I'd be too small for them to know I'm here. Too small to hurt me, hiding under a blanket of grief and gray where it's uncomfortable yet familiar, no surprises here, until spirit said, girl, this ain't you.
All right.
I didn't respond. Spirit said, girl, this ain't you. If I ignore it, it'll go away. And spirit said, come on now, you know this ain't you. This ain't you. I didn't make you like this. Rise. 3 years passed. Girl, rise. Sometimes being surrounded by death gives you new life. Sometimes you get tired of being tired and you have to look at things differently, except there ain't nothing you can do about the past. Hold on to the good memories. Remember that your loved ones' love never dies. Recognize that your light could be the radius of a pinhole and folks will still say you too much. Remind yourself that you're more than a conqueror and a misogynist. Sometimes you gotta let the magic back in and manifest your healing. 4, I wash away chunks of the grief and self-forgiveness, flush out pieces of resentment with tears. I scream them out, I pray it out, I write it out, I walk it out. The quarantine is now my cocoon, and God will dance when I'm reborn. I burst through the silk casing, emerge from my cocoon with monarch-colored wings, wrapped in hope. My first words, I'm gonna do me. My body glows, my heart opens, God dances, and I'm alive. Thank you. We are coming towards the end. Allie, our great leader, who put this all together. We would not all be here together if it wasn't for her effort. But yeah, so she has a few pieces. You wanna close us out?
That was so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And really thank you to all of our readers, our writers. Just, I wanna share a little piece from June Jordan, and then I'm gonna share a piece that I wrote. In Memoriam, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., Part 1. This is June Jordan's soul script. Honey people, murder, mercy, USA. The milk lad turned to monsters to teach, to kill, to violate, pull down, destroy the weekly freedom growing fruit from being born, America. Tomorrow, yesterday, rip, rape, exacerbate, despoil, disfigure, crazy, running, threat, the deadly thrall, appall, belief, dispel, the wildfire, burn the beast, the onward tongue, the outward hand, deform the normal, rainy, riot, sunshine, shelter, wreck of darkness, derogate, delimit, blank, explode, deprive, assassinate, and batten up. Like bullets fatten up, like raving greed, reactive, a springtime, terrorizing, duplication, death by death, by men, by more than you or I can stop. So I wanted to just talk a little bit about that, just the inspiration between, you know, all of the different permissions pieces that we reached out for, from Maya Angelou to Sonia Sanchez to June Jordan. When we're talking about Black women, we're talking about these spaces that we're living in. There was so much that had been said before, right? And so I was like, let's reach back. And we are saying it in different ways. We are in conversation with those pieces, and I thought it was important for us to continue to stay in conversation. This piece is called Evermore, after Sonia Sanchez. This is not a small voice you hear. This is a resounding cymbal, bombas and maracas. This is the song of those who chose the sea. Those who wanted better for you and me. This is not a small voice you hear. This is a familiar hum, your great-great-grandmother's drum, sending shivers up your vertebrae and down your meridian. This is not a small heart you see. This is a big heart, swelling with love, buoyant as the sea, demanding transformation, calling and healing and restoration together. Thank you.
That was When We Exhale co-editor Allie Jones, along with fellow poets Ayodele Nzinga, Nia Pearl, Adrian Danielle Oliver, Lynn Patterson, and Kelechi Ubozo. We recorded this event in May of 2026. Thank you to KALW's Events and Community Engagement Coordinator Charles Lighthouse and his team of volunteers for all of their help. The book When We Exhale is available from Black Freighter Press and we'll have a link on our website.